The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you mostly probably from the October-November issue of AARP Magazine. Today's programming is generously underwritten by Salivi Chiropractic. Salivi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call them at 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. Now, we're picking up an article that I started last week and was not able to finish. This article is about the problems associated with professional guardianship of the elderly or those not able to care for themselves. And it concerns a family, a woman named Kisei Davis in New Mexico and her stepson, Larry, and their struggles when she was taken over by professional guardianship and put into a facility from which he has been struggling to liberate her and to resume her guardianship as a family member. So when I quit reading last week, I was just saying that, or reading that, since guardianship scandals erupted in the news 31 years ago, similar scenarios have played out across the country. States pass pretty laws, but there's no meat on the bone, says Bernard Crooks, a past president of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. Monitoring and enforcement mechanisms are often inadequate, as are provisions for training guardians in the rules they're supposed to follow. That's beginning to change. In 2011, the National Guardianship Network, a coalition of organizations including AARP dedicated to improving guardianship law and practice, launched a project known as Working Interdisciplinary Networks of Guardianship Stakeholders, or WINGS, a collaboration of courts, government agencies, and civic groups in 25 states that's working to reform guardianship systems. And Congress last October passed the Elder Abuse Prevention and Prosecution Act, which includes a section calling for the establishment of programs to assess the workings of state guardianship systems, to develop recommendations for improvement, and to establish guardianship oversight demonstration programs nationwide. For more on state reform, oh, there's a sidebar here called Change is Coming. We'll get to that when we finish the main article. But effective oversight requires good information, and most states still fall grievously short regarding this. We don't really know how many guardianships there are, let alone how many are going well and how many are problematic, says Diana Noel, a senior legislative representative for AARP. This year, the Albuquerque Journal found that Advocate Services, the guardian for Kisei, had failed to file annual reports for 50 or more cases going back to 1990. We did get behind, and we're catching up, Sandy Meyer told the paper. Such laxity and lack of follow-up by authorities are not uncommon among guardians nationwide. On February 26, 2018, 11 months after he ruled that Kisei should be moved to California, Judge Martin held another hearing. Larry testified, describing his close relationship with Kisei and his efforts to ensure her well-being. Franco and two of Kisei's friends spoke as well. They all agreed that living near her family would be in Kisei's best interest. Banks disagreed, but the judge said he'd intended for Kisei to be moved soon after his original order and was disappointed that she hadn't been. He appointed Larry as Kisei's guardian and ordered that she be transferred promptly. The next day, Larry gave Kisei the good news. After more than a year of captivity, she was going home with them. You saved my life, she told him. At first, she moved into Larry and Marcia's home in Sonoma. Then, when a space became available, she relocated to an assisted living residence where the activities include gardening, musical performances, and outings. Kisei's loved ones can visit anytime, and she can visit them. This is a nice place, she says. It's like going to heaven. At 87, Kisei is physically healthy, and Larry hopes she'll remain so. But her freedom came at a considerable cost. He spent more than $50,000 on legal bills and other expenses. The charges to Kisei's estate during her ordeal are expected to top $140,000, and that's not counting the existential toll. They took 14 of Kisei's last months away from her and made it a nightmare, says Larry, who testified before New Mexico's Guardianship Commission at last year's hearings. It was like a hostage situation. No one should have to go through what happened to us. Now I'll read you a couple of little sidebars that accompany this article that have some helpful information. The first is, here's how to avoid a bad guardianship. Careful planning can ensure that you'll have a say in who will look after you if you ever need help. Make peace with your loved ones. Judges often appoint professional guardians when families are feuding, so try to make up before problems escalate. Whatever the cost, it will likely be cheaper than a professional guardian. Then power up. Create one durable power of attorney for finances and another for medical care. One person can fill both roles, and you can also name your power of attorney designee as your guardian of choice. Instruct. Explain to your designee how to do the job. Good sources are consumerfinance.gov/managing-someone-else's-money and guardianship.org/standards. Finally, trust but verify. In your power of attorney document, create checks and balances by requiring your appointee to provide a periodic accounting to another trusted friend or relative. And this other sidebar is, change is coming. Since 2012, AARP has played a key role in supporting more than 200 new laws and other guardianship reforms across the country, such as AARP Montana, assisted in passing a bill that created the Montana Working Interdisciplinary Network of Guardianship Stakeholders, a court-community partnership to identify and help address problems with the state's guardianship system. And then AARP Texas helped prepare consumer-friendly guides in English and Spanish to inform financial caregivers of their responsibilities. They've also helped create a less restrictive alternative to guardianship, a supported decision-making agreement. AARP Nevada is a member of the Nevada Supreme Court Guardianship Commission. In March 2018, the commission's efforts led the court to establish a toll-free hotline to help protect vulnerable adults from guardianship abuse and exploitation. And then finally, AARP Connecticut worked with state courts and others to adopt formal practice standards for guardians, including ethical considerations, fiduciary duties, and handling challenging family dynamics. They also created a guardian training module. Now, here's another interesting article from AARP. This is called Keeping Up with the Joneses. What do seven families who happen to share a common name reveal about the current state of the American dream? This is written by David Hockman. And it spotlights seven Jones families, or Jones people, and talks about their lives. Here we go. Over a century ago, Keeping Up with the Joneses was created to make us laugh, a daily comic strip that ran from 1913 to 1938. It chronicled the bumbling quest of the McGinnis family to match the lifestyle of the always unseen Jones family next door. At some point, we started to take the idea seriously. Putting two cars in every garage and a chicken in every pot became a national obsession. And if the neighbors added aluminum siding, we'd find a way not only to match them, but to surpass them. That, in large part, became the American dream of our parents' generation. Yet, does it hold true today? Do most Americans still see more money and more stuff as the path to a good life? To answer that question, we turn to the very real people the catchphrase evokes. For over a year, we talked with Joneses from across America, some rich, some poor, many in between, and asked them what they thought about money. The answers were decidedly mixed. Some still view money as the bridge to a better life, believing more is generally better than less. Others see it simply as a necessity of basic existence. Family, friends, the heart, and experiences, they say, are the true sources of joy. Who would you rather keep up with? We present the United States of Jones. Our first is wheeler dealer Ben Jones, 55, bike shop owner. Annual income, $80,000 and growing. Retirement strategy, my business is my retirement. I'll grow the wealth and that wealth will be my future. The upkeep, Jones's debt includes $200,000 on a home he built himself that's now worth $360,000 and about $10,000 in credit card debt he plans to pay off in the next 2 years. He has set aside about $50,000 in liquid cash. His wife, Monica, earns $26,000 at a school district job. This covers household expenses. All other income goes into the bike business. How he earned it. I used to run corporate cafeterias in the Kansas City area. A few years ago, I noticed there were no bike shops in our small town and decided at age 49 to take $95,000 from savings and open a cycling store. I don't wear spandex or enjoy snobby bike talk, but I found a niche selling recumbent three-wheel trikes. People started driving from 200 miles away to buy them. Pretty soon, I was named Dealer of the Year. Up until 2018, Jones's business had gone up 50%, in sales each year. This year, the income is keeping pace with what he made last year, and he opened a second shop last month. Monica and I are homebodies, he says, so we're not spending on entertainment. We sometimes clip coupons and we buy generic brands. I don't consider myself a millionaire, but I will be one by age 60. The meaning of money. I'm not extremely motivated by big wealth, though I'm learning to appreciate it. Having money gives you the comfort of knowing the bills will be paid and your needs will be met. You won't end up in the poorhouse. My dad was a wealthy man, a doctor. He could buy a Mercedes-Benz and pay cash, but he drove a Honda Civic. He taught me to value the peace of satisfaction rather than chasing after some dream. Next is the true original, Guy Winfred Jones, 62, a retired pest control worker. Annual income around $12,600 in Social Security disability benefits for work-related illness, plus about $1,200 in royalties from a book he co-wrote on early childhood education. Retirement strategy. I wish I could say I have a plan, but I really don't. Social Security is my lifeline. The upkeep. It's tight. The $1,051 Jones gets monthly from the government covers his $600 rent and his medical copays not covered by insurance. He has 8 kids and 16 grandkids, and the family helps out with utilities and groceries. How he earned it. As a little one, I was very poor, but I didn't know it. We didn't have food sometimes, so my brothers and I would run down to the creek and go fishing. It was fun, and we were contributing. I'm a full-blood Lakota, and the name Jones has deep implications. It was an attempt to civilize us, to take away our Indianness. I left the reservation in 1974 and eventually got a job spraying houses for bugs. Everybody assumed I was an environmentalist because of that Indian from TV with a tear rolling down his face. People felt safe with me, and I made good commissions. I was earning $275 a week. Come to find out, all those sprays were nerve poisons. I wore a respirator, but the poison still absorbed through the skin. I got tumors, needed surgeries, and had to quit working. The meaning of money. Trouble is, once you get money, you spend money, and you always end up wanting more. I tell my kids all the time, be wise with your money. Save it. Invest. Build up equity. Prove your worth. Me, I've had my ups and downs. Married and divorced 3 times. I've had my car repossessed. I've had my home foreclosed on. It's not been easy, but life goes on. I probably feel the poorest when my kids ask me for things and I'm not able to help. Next, we have the self-made millionaire, Russell Jones, age 70, owner, fire alarm, and home security business. Annual income, $350,000. Retirement strategy. Jones has savings, a 401k, and rental property income. I withheld getting my Social Security until I was 70 because the government paid me extra 8% for each of the years I waited, and I waited 4 years. Where else can I put my money and make 32%? The upkeep. After 44 years of marriage, everything he and his wife Pamela have is paid for, including a house in the Florida Keys and another in North Carolina. Their 401k remains untouched, and they have more than $1 million in the bank. My biggest expense is probably my electric bill. How he earned it. My dad worked in a bedspring factory his whole life, and that motivated me. He never had a spare dime, so I always had a job. I was cutting grass at age 13, bagging groceries at 14. I made $1 million in 1981, running an export company with my partner. I took over an alarm company, even though I didn't know anything about electronics. I educated myself and hired people way smarter than I am. We now have 72 employees and bring in $3 million a year. The first home my dad owned, I bought for him. The meaning of money. I've had a lot of friends with money who weren't happy. I had one friend with $7 million in the bank who committed suicide. That made a big impact. Money goes only so far. To me, what money buys is freedom and time. When my sons were growing up, I would take off most summers so I could be with them. I was an Eagle Scout, and I really wanted the boys to get into scouting. My business suffered a bit, but my partner had to put up with it. Now both my boys are Eagle Scouts. You can't put a price on that. Next, we have the graduate, Elaine Jones Scott, age 64, addiction counselor in training. She received her bachelor's degree in counseling and psychology at age 62 and is now studying for a master's in mental health counseling. Annual income, around $14,400 to $18,000 from Social Security disability benefits because of Crohn's disease. Retirement strategy. I plan to start working and to help people in need. The upkeep. Tuition is roughly $25,000 a year, which Jones pays for with scholarships, federal assistance, and some savings drawn from her retirement accounts. Three surgeries for Crohn's disease forced her to dip into her 401k. How she earned it. I went back to school because I had already, as a divorced single mom, raised my family, including a granddaughter who just turned 22. I worked in corporate America for 15 years, but always wanted to have my degree, specifically to counsel people about addiction. Drugs and alcohol sidetracked me early on, and I saw family members fight that battle. But I've been free from addiction for 20 years. Now I'm helping young people, ages 14, 15, make better choices. The meaning of money. My attitude about money is that it facilitates what you need to have done. It doesn't bring you prestige. It doesn't bring you fame. Money is the means to everything you may need to accomplish, be it education, family, even taking care of God's kingdom. Truthfully, I haven't worried very much about money because it was instilled in me that if you work hard, the money will come. Sometimes I wish I had more. I would love to be able to leave my children an inheritance so they could start out without the world being so difficult for them. The multimillionaire, Scott A. Jones, 58, inventor and serial entrepreneur. Assets, high. He's earned north of $200 million from sales of various companies and has substantial income from additional investments. Retirement strategy. After retiring at 30 and getting bored and depressed, I vowed never to retire again, and I mean it. The upkeep. Maintaining big houses costs hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Cooling bills at Jones's Hawaiian manse run around $10,000 a month. He's married to V and has two ex-wives and six children. How he earned it. I always dreamed big. I didn't get to the NBA, but I got pretty much everything else. I've sold three companies, each for hundreds of millions of dollars. I've had the jets and helicopters and Ferraris and the top home theater in the world. Kim Kardashian even presented me with the MTV Cribs Award. The meaning of money. I created all this wealth when I was young and thought money was all I needed. I was wrong. It can mess with your reality. My three-year-old thought all daddies went to work in a helicopter because one landed on our lawn every day. I'm in a mode now in my 50s where I'm unloading stuff, just getting rid of it, and spending time on relationships and making an impact on the world. That feels right. What I'll say about wealth is it just means money doesn't get in the way. You're never in a pinch. You're free to travel and have whatever you need. That said, a lot of people tell me I'm no different from when I didn't have money, and I'm very proud of that. The preacher, Bishop Fred A. Jones, Sr., 69, founder of the Mount Zion Pentecostal Cathedral and the Jones Family Singers. Annual income, around $20,000. Retirement strategy? Retirement, what is that? Who gets to do that? Until I'm laid with my hands across the chest, I'll do what I do. The upkeep. With grown-up children, Jones and his wife, Sarah, no longer need to feed their 8 kids. His biggest expense is airline tickets. We had a tour bus, but it conked out. I burned the clutch traveling from Ohio to Houston. His debt is around $15,000 for a car loan. How he earned it. I got 6 girls and 2 boys ranging from age 28 to 52, and I trained them all to sing. A few of my 19 grandkids, too. So we've been blessed to get to travel to over 500 cities in the U.S. and 9 countries. We've performed for 50,000 people at a festival in Germany. We've played with Earth, Wind, and Fire, Mavis Staples, and Coldplay. The money's up and down. We might get $4,500 for 90 minutes of gospel, sometimes more, sometimes less. The true reward is to bring peace to people's hearts. The meaning of money. At this point, I'm happy I'm not starving or living outside. The best investment I ever made was in my children, teaching them to play, to sing, to utilize their God-given talents to the fullest. I don't have enough money, yet I don't worry about it. I say to myself, you work hard and use money wisely and show decent common sense, you'll get by. More money doesn't equal happiness. We weren't rich growing up, though we ate regularly, slept on clean sheets, and had the basic necessities. Being greedy for more than that usually leads to trouble and sin. The Happy Campers. Finally, we have Edie Jones, 80, and Ted Jones, 86, retired summer camp owners. Annual income, $66,000 from combined pensions and Social Security. Retirement strategy. Now's the time to spend some of the money we worked so hard to earn, Edie says. We've been careful enough for long enough. We know we won't outlive our savings. The upkeep. After a recent refinance, the Joneses pay $1,086 a month on a $200,000 mortgage on a vacation property, plus another monthly home equity loan payment of $660. It's their only debt. They occasionally dip into an investment account worth around $87,000 to make the payments. Friends who stay at the vacation house are asked to make a donation of $150 a night. The Joneses' 2004 Prius has more than 200,000 miles on it. Most of the time, they drive their 2014 Subaru Forester. How they earned it. We've been married for 56 years, Edie notes. In our prime earning decades, Ted was the branch manager for Johnson's Temperature Control in Kentucky. I worked for the Girl Scouts. We moved to Oregon to buy a children's summer camp and managed that together for 11 years before we sold it. At the same time, I was the executive director of a nonprofit parent-children program. Now we live off our pensions and Social Security, which barely covers our expenses. The meaning of money. In a way, money has become inconsequential, she says. As long as you have just enough to feel comfortable, you don't have to worry, she says. We have 4 children who went to good schools. That was where most of our money went, but it was money well spent. One has a PhD, another has a master's. They all do well. We live on 6 acres out in the country. The people on the east side put up a beautiful log fence that borders our driveway. The people west of us built an equally attractive log fence. We thought that a log fence would be nice on our property, too. Writing the check, we laughed and said, wait a minute. It's the neighbors who are supposed to be keeping up with the Joneses, not the other way around. Now we've got a few minutes left, so I'll just read you some of the magazine's little quickie, sort of little mini articles. Here and from up front is one on pastas. Yes, there are tasty gluten-free pastas. The Italian treat without the wheat. Here's the thing. if one member of your household goes gluten-free, everyone else must too, or you're cooking two dinners. Is pasta night ruined? As the co-author of the cookbook Mastering Pasta, I had the challenge of finding a gluten-free version that would please traditionalist palates. Gluten-free pastas can be made with white rice, brown rice, corn, quinoa, lentils, and various blends. I sampled four flavorful varieties with a panel of 50 and older women and men, including a longtime celiac patient, some who stick to gluten-free and some who eat wheat pasta. Personally, I was surprised at how good most of these were. See our tester's notes. Tip, check gluten-free pasta for doneness a few minutes early. This is written by David Joaquin. And now he gives four. His four favorites are, first, brown rice, tinkyada. Its appearance is light tan, its taste is satisfying, and its texture is good chew. Next is corn plus white rice, called barilla. The appearance is translucent yellow when dry, it tastes almost wheat-like, and the texture is toothsome. Next is another brown rice called Jovial. I guess these are brand names. The appearance is less brown when cooked. The taste is earthy. The texture is bouncy. And then number four is corn plus quinoa, and that brand name is Ancient Harvest. The appearance is bright yellow. The taste is sweet like corn, and the text is both mushy and brittle. New uses for a waffle maker. Don't let yours collect dust. It has the power to get people into the kitchen, especially children and grandchildren, says Daniel Shumsky, author of Will It Waffle, because it's an easy-to-use and fun appliance. Combine these ingredients and waffle away. Just always remember to use cooking spray to prevent sticking. So you can make brownies with prepared brownie mix, a second egg, and chocolate frosting. Or you can make an omelet with eggs, milk, and chopped veggies. Or you can make a quesadilla with tortillas, diced peppers, and cheese. And finally, to spice up your cooking, they recommend pepitas, which are pumpkin seeds. Raw or roasted, they make a satisfying snack. You can sprinkle them on muffins for crunch and color, blend them into pestos, mix them into cooked rice or quinoa. However you use them, pepitas are a good source of fiber, protein, and iron. And in closing, just one little tip to our listeners to update your vaccinations. For information for adults on what you need to protect yourself, you can go to aarp.org/adultvaccines. And now that's just about it for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I hope you'll listen next time and that you've enjoyed today. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Our programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic, which welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call them at 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long till next time.